हरि ओम सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसनि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bottom 12. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on the same topic. Since Vyasa appeared in Satyavati not long before Krishna's appearance, he could not appear at the beginning of Dwapara Yuga. Thus, Dwapara means at the end of Dwapara. And Dwapara Dao means at the beginning of the last part of Dwapara Yuga. So here is that... So the beginning of the last part, or you're just looking at it from wherever you're standing, you look the other way, it's the beginning. You know what I'm saying? If you're at the end, if you look back, the end is the beginning. So either way, as it has been pointed out, the Jiva Goswami, or as Vishwanath points out. Although he was already situated on the transcendental platform, Sukadev still became attracted by the Bhagavatam's description of the Lord's pastimes. 9. According to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sukadev Goswami says, though I was fixed in the Brahman, my mind became attracted, grihita cheta, to the pastimes of the Lord. I am the proof that the pastimes of the Lord are sweeter than the realization of Brahman. Sukadeva Goswami announces that he will now recite Srimad Bhagavatam. He begins by glorifying the Bhagavat Purana, footnote 3. This way of opening a holy discourse intended to invoke the all-auspicious personal presence of the Supreme Lord throughout the assembly of hearers and speakers of the Lord's Granta form is termed Mangalacharan. He says that one who gives full attention and respect to hearing the Bhagavatam achieves Mukunda Mati, unflinching faith in Lord Mukunda. Because right? That's what you want. The whole process is based on faith. So if faith is not strong, nothing else will be strong. Right? That's the whole point. So one can advance, but if the faith doesn't remain, if it somehow the faith goes down, everything goes down. The manifestation will be less. Does that make sense? Whatever position you're at, if the faith is not there, it will manifest to the position of before faith. Right? Does that make sense? Because then you're involved in your own life, Krishna's been added a little bit. Right? But now, if the faith can be re-brought back, then immediately, then the position you're at, having that faith as the foundation, one immediately goes back to whatever position was in before. That's how Krishna consciousness is not lost. The material, it's lost. It's just whatever position your focus is at. Mm-hmm. Does that work? Does that make sense? That's why sometimes you may see someone who's been around for a very long time, if they get distracted, then it appears that they're dealing and acting as if they're quite neophyte. Does that make sense? That's only because of the faith. You reestablish the faith, and then they go back to whatever was their natural position. Okay. Yes.
And how do you do that? Reestablish the faith?
Association.
How do you lose?
Yeah.
Association.
Okay.
The whole thing is by association. Right? In other words, it's just a matter of becoming covered. What happens is that it's covered by the weeds. So what happens is the faith becomes placed in other things. right? The materialistic elements of the weeds that are coming up, the faith gets placed there. So what's happening is your faith in the spiritual is going up, your faith in the material is going down. Right? Because the whole point is faith is your beginning state, you can say, of rati, right? Attraction. Because that's what the devotional process is made out of. Right? The Shraddha Prema means that there's prema, but then everything below prema is rati. Right? So it's attraction. So if your attraction is to Krishna, that's called faith. But if your attraction is to the material, then that material attraction, that was not what's going to, power the development of bhakti. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of weeds come up. If you aren't careful about the weeds, one gets distracted. So that's why if you can then, by association, re-establish that, then it just goes back to whatever position it's at. Does that make sense? So that's why association is so important. You have good association, it remains. You have bad, it goes down. So this idea is that, you know, the material world is not so bad, people are nice and everything like that. But then the problem is that so-called nice association is not going to enhance bhakti. Because their niceness, as we discussed before, is only borrowed. It's only the modes of nature. It's only their conditioning. It's not the nature of the soul. So as it changes, then your that niceness changes. So that niceness does not have a spiritual foundation. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. Yes.
So sometimes it happens that Krishna, I think, tests devotees by with problems in the institution, like fall down of gurus or something, and they lose faith.
It means the test is there. That's, but we also have to look at that. Yes, I mean, you can look at that aspect of the test. You can also look at the aspect of people are looking for an excuse. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like this. If we're talking about, you know, war with Maya. Okay? Yes? No? It's commonly used. We use these battle terminologies, you know, even though it's not. What was it? What was the that correctness we came up with? No, that was political, but we came up
polluted correctness.
Yes, the polluted polluted correctness. Then you're not supposed to use these battle terminologies, right? You can use corporate, but not use battle, even though corporate is much more dirty than a battlefield. At least the guy is there, and you know, you see the mortar coming, right? You know, you hear the sound, right? You know, if the mortar, you don't hear the sound, then you have a problem. But as long as you hear the sound, you know, life's still good, right? So it's more direct. Though it has the political things, but that the political things are for establishing a stable position. While the business thing is just to make profit. So it's, once you make profit, it's not necessarily there's some glorious end there. Does that make sense? So it's just arbitrary. That something is there. Okay, so now that we're established that we're using it, you know, then the point is if it's war with Maya, then is everybody so disturbed if senior officers in the army somehow or another get shot or the mortar lands on them? You understand? It's war. It happens. People can get disheartened. It's a very natural thing. Is like when you're having a war, if the king gets captured or killed, then everybody kind of loses their enthusiasm. But it's not that someone else can't re-inspire that. We see that going on, right? So the point is this idea that gurus fall down, so it's natural that, you know, if I don't have faith, then no one can criticize, basically means if I can find an excuse why I can again absorb myself materially, then no one, it's not my fault. You know what I'm saying? Because the point is the individual always has to think, do you want to go back to Godhead or not? That's the point. It's not about if everybody else is going. It's about, do you want to go? Because someone else can't make the decision for you. That's the one decision you can make. Now, the difference on what kind of association you have, the certain situations you consider, you appreciate, that you find very helpful, but that doesn't mean that the position of the soul being naturally servant of Krishna and that being his natural position to be in changes because people don't make it. Does that make sense?
But they don't seem to lose faith in Krishna, they lose faith in the institution. They don't want to
be that you have to see. If someone is only the institution, then the point is then they have faith in Krishna, great. But then the point is why? What's the problem with the institution? What's the difficulty? Why is that a problem? I mean, it's just like, is there a rule that the officers can't get shot? You know, it's like this. Let us say we have a general, okay? And then let's say we have a lieutenant, and we have a private, okay? Now, they're sitting in a trench, okay? Right? Not so well, nowadays they don't use trenches as much. Okay, let's say a foxhole. That might work better. Huh? Okay? Yeah? Okay. Now, one of them sticks their head up, right? And gets shot in the head. Okay. Now, let's say one of the other ones sticks their head up, right? They get shot in the head. What if the third one sticks their head up, gets shot in the head? Is there some rule that only privates can stick their head up and get shot in the head? So in other words, material energy works the way it works. You deal properly, nothing happens. You deal not properly, people get hurt. You know what I'm saying? So why is it the institution? You understand? Right? Second thing is, let us say we're at a hospital. Right? Now, would it be fair that someone, you know, sitting there in one of the beds is complaining that everybody in this hospital is sick? Yes? No? And now, let us say, because you're working in the hospital, one of the doctors gets sick. Now can we really get grumpy and say, oh, this hospital's useless? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, in other words, it's just another excuse to not accept authority. Because then we can always, institutions, always, as soon as you use the word institution, you can immediately say, oh, there's something wrong with authority, this and that. But then what will be your authority instead? One's own mind, right? And so, therefore, one has to know what the institution is, right? Because technically, the institution is the mission of Lord Chaitanya as given in a form that we can relate to it, right? The Goswami sat under trees, literally. Would we have here 3,000 devotees in Mayapur living here if there were only trees? And I'm not joking. There is probably, you could probably count on one maximum two hand devotees in Mayapur who have planted trees, even though they've lived here 10, 20, 30 years. I've watched whole communities. No one plants trees. You know what I'm saying? So therefore, there's going to be a problem of everybody living under trees. You understand? The forest department planted trees, the skinny ones. Okay, it'll work. You know, but my point is that Prabhupada built these facilities because Westerners wouldn't be able to sit down on the bank of the Ganges. Prabhupada said he could do it. Right? Gorkhashorda's Babaji Maharaj did it. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did it. Though the other acharyas, they all did it. But we're not going to do it. Right? As long as this place had a village flavor, nobody was here. I'm being really straight here. As soon as it turns a little bit into the city, you can buy, you know, stuff that you can relate to on a shelf, you know, in the West, and all these different things like that. Then, now it's filling up with devotees. But before, when it was, the only thing to eat was something that grew locally, in season. There was nobody here. Came in the 70s, there was 175 devotees. You know, well into the 80s, it went up to 200, 250. You know, this whole thing like this now, this is very recent. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that, and so what's that? Is this just that so much just commitment to just the instruction and that mood of the acharyas, and that's what we want to do? You know what I'm saying? Also, before, people wouldn't move around. Now that they put in roads, now people ride scooters. You know what I'm saying? So the point is we also have to look at what we're working with. You know, as Prabhupada mentioned to one Indian gentleman, I think I mentioned that. He was saying, you know, why are these devotees like this? And he says, well, what, this is what I got to work with. What do you want? You know what I'm saying? So the point is pointing a finger at the institution, which is basically an extension of Prabhupada's desire to create something that devotees can work within, you know, from the world community, then that's also basically pretty useless. The point is you want to go back to Godhead, then as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami points out, you'll find the association. You want to stay here? You won't. That's basically the way it is. The decision is everybody's, that they can make at any time, because the soul is transcendental, is individual. It's not dependent on anybody else. But you understand? Tathasta technically is dependent upon the internal potency or the external, not on Tathasta Shakti. You understand? We take shelter of devotees because they have connected themselves to the internal potency, so they're as good as internal potency. Therefore, then we can be dependent upon devotees. Or you can be dependent upon karmis because they're empowered by the material nature. Does this work? Right. You know, in other words, when people say these things, then it's understood as a sentiment. And okay, this bothers them, but that would have bothered them no matter what they joined. You know what I'm saying? They joined some greeny movement, and then, you know, somebody in the green line, you know, had a refrigerator or something. You know, their faith would be, shattered. Or, you know what I'm saying? It's just no matter what you work in, it's shattered. But still people are there. How many people have faith in the modern rat race? You know, stuck in their little rut. How many people really have faith that this is the institution they want to be part of? Hardly anybody. But do they go somewhere else? Do they just, like, pack up, sell everything, and, like, move to Borneo or something like that? Or no. So therefore, it's just an excuse. It may not even be that they know it's an excuse, just Maya's tricked them. But the point is it's not a valid position. People try to make it a valid position, but it's not really much of a position. I mean, in the 70s, it didn't bother anybody. Senior devotees went down right and left, and nobody skipped a beat. Because it was understood, Maya's clever, she can catch anybody. Therefore, you know, we push on, and we follow Prabhupada's instruction, it works. Does that make sense? Yes?
Mistrust in
the authorities also form mistrust in knowledge? Yes, it's just the generic thing is I'm the controller and enjoyer, so there's an inherent distrust in authority other than oneself. Mm-hmm. So you add that to a conditioning that has trust issues. And then, you know, it becomes doubly difficult. You understand? So it's not that someone's doing well. You know, so you come across, you know, it's like the other day they had these, you know, some of Prabhupada's, a program for some Bengali disciples of Srila Prabhupada that, you know, basically kind of the flyer was saying, you know, they're kind of like they've been lost, but now they've been found or something. I'm not sure about the wording, but whatever. And so, you know, some have been around way longer than a lot of the senior devotees nowadays. But now having found them is now the faith in the movement. Everyone's gone up, and yes, you know, here it is. Here's someone so quiet, out of the way, never heard of, and he's been there, you know, plodding away. And people's faith is, yes, and like this and that. Is that being used like that? No, it's just used the other way. Why? Because there's authority issues. Generally, you'll see anybody who brings this point up strongly, they have personal authority issues. Because if you don't have authority issues, then there's nothing to make authority go down. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense.
What do you mean, authority go down?
It doesn't, it means the position of authority will not be reduced. Mm-hmm. Because the point is an individual doesn't represent the concept of authority. An individual is an individual. It's a voluntary movement. Everybody takes part in it to the best of their ability. You know, some do better, some don't. You understand? So it's an individual movement. So if I'm making a decision individually, why is it everybody else is institutional? You know, I came to Mayapur, but, you know, I didn't find that spiritual atmosphere I was looking for. I don't find, you know, people don't have that community sense like I was looking for. It's kind of like, but what if they came for the same thing? You know, somehow or another, he meets 3,000 devotees. They all got together and said, well, why don't we go to Mayapur so we can set up this wonderful environment so this one devotee who wants to sell everything and move to Mayapur will be satisfied. Is that how it works? No, that's what I'm saying. In a hospital, everybody's sick. And then to complain, oh, they're sick, that's like, you know, that was... Yeah, that wasn't intelligence. Does that make sense? Yes, so we have to be very, very careful, because the point is everybody, you know, is taking part how they can. The point is if someone's not Krishna conscious, falls in Krishna consciousness because of Krishna consciousness, or it's because of the material energy. So, and if the material energy does that, do we find it strange? You know what I'm saying? That's the whole point. Another thing is that we actually have faith that material energy can produce something good, because what's the alternative? One doesn't stick to devotional service, what's the alternative? Right? So if they go away, that means then they have faith material energy will give me shelter. But if one doesn't, one has faith in only spiritual life, then one will find other devotees to take shelter of. You know? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like this. If you, you know, were you had some idea, some nice plan and everything like that, and, you know, you went out and, you know, everyone's going to go on vacation and everything like this. You go out to the driveway, pack up the car, everyone gets in, and you figure out there's a flat tire or there's no petrol. Is that it? Now you give up, take everything back in the house, and like that, and that's it? No. You know what I'm saying? So at any point, does one do that? No. The more one has an idea that this is going to be good, or this is valuable, then no matter how many obstacles, we keep at it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Bilba Mangal's guru is a prostitute. Right? And we don't have a problem because they directed them on the path of God consciousness. You know what I'm saying? So the point is it's not a problem. It's only a problem if you want it to be a problem. And don't worry, Maya she is fully willing to accommodate like that. Fully willing. Right? Whatever you want, she'll provide until you surrender to it, and then she'll take it away. Like that. You know what I'm saying? It's like the carrot. You know, whatever it is. You know, you don't like carrots, she'll hold out the broccoli. You know, whatever it takes. And as soon as you decide yes, then you'll find that it's not there. You know. She's clever. She's good. So it's just another trick of hers. So, Krishna may, it may be considered, you can take it as a test, But it doesn't make it that it's we're not in any way responsible. Does that make sense? So that's the point, is we're opening here at the Bhagavatam. So the idea is faith is required. Right? That faith, just like the Gita, even if it says you don't have that faith, but the Spirit is there, then it'll work. Because at least you understand that, yes, this will get us something. So we have to have that. Then we can get something, because it's a matter of Krishna reveals. Right? Because otherwise, if we don't have that faith, or we don't have the proper attitude, then what does Krishna have to reciprocate with? Okay.
Yeah. Can you trace back authority issues to, you know, the lack of witnessing in the home, in the family?
That's immediate. Means, in other words, someone who wants to have that kind of thing, then naturally these situations come up. And why would they be? Why would there be that situation in the home? Or, you know, why would it be there? Right? Does that make sense? And then you can take it how, okay, let us say, means, you know, we always hear, you know, historically through, you know, time and all that, and how you say, Reader's Digest always has nice little articles about, you know, so there's always going to be a story about someone who started in the worst situation, and then they keep at it and elevate themselves up to a very prominent position, right? Otherwise, why write an article? So it means, in other words, it's something that, yes, you could say for the ordinary person, it can happen like this. But then one has to understand that this is ordinary. It's not that, yes, I'm so intelligent, I'm so this, I'm so qualified. No, you're just so ordinary if you want to take that, claim that position. Otherwise, what's the meaning? Yes, you can take it back that people have authority issues, there's always something going back earlier, but why is that there? Because that goes back to previous life. It's not that that's generated it. You know, one thing not happening, you know, doesn't, you know, it's just like, let's say you are interested in sense gratification in a particular area. Even though there's so many obstacles and so many people aren't getting anything and so many people may even be having difficulty, are we giving up our desire? That's the thing. So then why would we think that just this one incident would generate that? Right? You know what I'm saying? You can take it back and you can generally see someone who has authority issues, there's always some problem before. But that would be going back. It's not going to happen at one time. Because we see others in exactly the same situation not having the same problem.
Individual.
It's individual. That's the point. We are individual, so the whole thing's individual. So to use this institutional thing as an excuse. But the point is we're an individual making that choice, but that institution is made out of individuals also. Right? And the person and the point of the institution is based on the instruction of individuals. And Rupa Goswami has put together this concept. Jiva Goswami formalized it. The Acharyas at different times have created that institutional form. Institution simply means you have some common standards that everybody works by, so they can cooperate. The modern society is an institution. Right? Marriage is always called an institution. Right? There's rules. So the concept of institution cannot be used as an excuse, because everything's an institution. A city is an institution. Right? You know, it's not that you see at one street crossing you see zebra cross zebra stripes, and another one you see, you know, like a lion pug marks or something. You know what I'm saying?
Leopard spots.
Yeah, leopard spots. You know, for, you know, if it's a smaller street or something, you know, in a rural area like that. You know, it's not that it changes. You know what I'm saying? It's an institution. Everything's that you go into. Why does people like to go to, you know, franchises? Because they're an institution. They know they're going to get the same thing, same treatment, same everything. You know, why do they go? Why do they have their favorite nightclub? Because it's an institution. You know what I'm saying? The person who's always changing, always this and that, then there's a problem. Okay, they're fun at a party if they're fire, if they're enthusiastic. But if they're not, they're a problem. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, in other words, there's a lot more there. We could say, yes, they've had that. Yes, but the point is you explain all this, and then they should be able to move forward. But to use it as an excuse and then create a whole bureaucracy based on this, that's just an excuse. Just like the one wants an excuse to leave, the other one wants an excuse to create bureaucracy. Or to reduce authority themselves. You know, it's like this. It's Maya's trick, that's all. Does that make sense? Yes. It doesn't matter. The Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, if one person goes back to Godhead from all of his endeavor, then he'll consider the mission successful. Prabhupada said the same thing. So now should we be, how should we take that? Yeah, it means it's very rare. And that point is, it's about one individual makes it, that's enough. And then we're going to say the whole institution is useless because one individual didn't make it. Right? You know, so what's the meaning here? Right? Even on the material platform, it's not considered a good excuse. Right? The guy was there, something happened in the family, you know, the problem with the relationship, you know, then later on in their life, then, you know, they're not getting involved, you know, with anybody, won't get like this. Why not? Because this happened, I can't trust anybody. Now, will the materialists all say, oh, yes, no, that I understand? No, they'll all try to convince them, hey, you know, that's an individual thing, you move on, come on, you got a life, you got this, even they're going to say, and I'm not talking about psychologists here, I'm just talking about your man on the street.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Even by Western standards, how long is it considered proper in your older tradition nowadays, is another thing, that the woman wears black? Right? 1 year. After a year, people start to talk. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is they just think it's normal. So that's just the gross materialist. Why? Because the soul's individual. So that's the whole thing. Is the institution is how that so many individuals can work together. That's what's, we're looking at it that it's the bad thing, you know, the thing controlling us, the thing, the monster, the thing. But the point is it's only made out of individuals. Right? And then the other thing is it's made so that so many wide variety of individuals can take part. And there's no one on the planet that can put together something like what Prabhupada put together, that this widest range of mentalities can take part in it. Go to other institutions, they don't have the range. They just don't. You know what I'm saying? You know, both within Vaishnavism and outside Vaishnavism. They don't have that range. No one's made, that's why Prabhupada is special. He's created something anybody from any background can take part in. And I make that challenge. There is no other individual on the planet that can do that. It's an impossibility. So that means then there must be something spiritual about the movement. Otherwise, how do you hold together all these different material conditionings that otherwise would not have anything to do with each other?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah? Is that okay? Does that work? Okay. So he says that one who gives full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam achieves Mukunda Mati, unflinching faith in Lord Mukunda. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, for advancement in material knowledge, there's a need for personal ability and research aptitude. But in the case of spiritual knowledge, all progress depends more or less on the mercy of the spiritual master. The spiritual master must be satisfied with the disciple. Only then is knowledge automatically manifest before the student of spiritual science. The bona fide spiritual master reasonably explains everything to the disciple on the authorities of Vedic wisdom. The disciple can receive such teachings not exactly intellectually, but by submissive inquiries and a service attitude. Right? So that's why that aspect is always brought out. Because right? if we take the thing of, you know, try to get away from service, get away from submission, then, you know, so that's the problem in having authority issues. Then there's a problem with submission. And then that will always create a problem for spiritual. Right? Because the whole thing is based on that.
So, am I right?
Yes.
So how do you explain if someone has an unqualified authority, does that mean they deserve that by their karma or Krishna's... Because they're under Krishna's karma.
No. But the point is they have... Okay, let's just take... They have unqualified authorities. Are they advancing spiritually? I mean, I've seen so many. They're advancing. Why are they advancing? Because ultimately, who's the spiritual master? Okay, that'll work. Okay, so now if everybody else is representing, whether they represent nicely or not, you're trying your best to do what you're supposed to do, will Nityananda Prabhu be pleased?
Yes.
Okay, then you will advance. So what does it matter if others take part nicely or not? You understand? Technically, there's not going to be a problem.
Okay, so there's no connection, though.
There may be a connection with your conditioning, and if you want to identify with conditioning, then you will have difficulty because you're looking for difficulty. You understand? Like, how do you say? The Shlemiel and the Shlemazel are automatically drawn towards non-ideal situations. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Well, you know a few Shlemiels or Shlemazels.
I can just speculate on what you mean.
Oh, you don't know what it means.
No.
Very scientific term. Okay. So,
I'm assuming those guys know.
they're terms used, I mean, so all over the place they use the terms. Maybe you haven't, maybe it hasn't gone as far as down under, but other parts of the world is not. The Shlemiel is a waiter, okay? Let's say he's happened to be doing activity as a waiter, and he's walking with a hot potato knish, okay? And he's walking along. And then he trips, and it goes flying through the air. That's a Shlemiel. Okay? Does that make sense? You can relate to a Shlemiel now? Okay. The guy it falls on, that's the Shlemazel. Okay? Right? So there's the guy that everything always happens to him. He's just there minding his own business and all these calamities come, right? And there's the other guy, no matter what he is, he makes trouble. He's not planning to, but always something. Right? So now the point is these just naturally happen. That's because of their conditioning. And then the point is they even start to identify that way. yeah, it always happens to me and this and that. And everything's happening to everybody, but they identify that, you know, I'm the one that it's all happening to. The material energy, she knows how to give everybody what they deserve. Does that make sense? So you don't have to identify with these things. You may know that, okay, this is the way it is. That's just the way the karma works. Okay? Yes.
So on this point that we are dependent, our progress is dependent on satisfying the spiritual master. If
you
don't have the bhapu of the spiritual master, does that mean that because he's the representative of Krishna ultimately, then if we satisfy Krishna, then we will progress?
Yes.
If we're not dependent on the bhapu.
The point is that's the natural thing, because we're individuals, we have relationships with people. We're just pointing this out, that it'll work despite. So even if someone's spiritual master falls down, one continues following the instructions of the spiritual master and that Prabhupada's giving and the other Vaishnavas, one will advance. Because the point is you've made that commitment to the process by taking initiation. You understand? Or by following the instructions. So it works. Does that make sense? That's why this institutional element is not a good point to get disturbed by, because it's much bigger than what we see as the institution. Does that make sense? You know, it's like you buy a washing machine from a particular company. Then you think it's just the washing machine, but there's a whole company out there. There's all the warranty, all these different things. So, does that make sense? There's a lot more happening. Yeah.
Okay.
Right. The disciple can receive such teachings not exactly intellectually. Right? We use the intelligence to understand, but it's not actually the intellect. It's that submission, that faith that actually makes it work. That's why sometimes those who are very intellectual can't understand things. Because unless it makes sense intellectually to them, and if they don't have spiritual intelligence, then it doesn't work. Yes. Okay, ladies first. Yes.
Can we say that this is about two extremes? One is very simple, and one is too intelligent?
Yeah.
So if it's in...
That's why the middle is better. But yes, either one. But both ways. One will be more sentimental, one will be more intellectual. So the intellectual consider themselves a better position, the sentimental consider that's a better position. The one's too dry, the other one's too wet.
It's too wet.
Yeah. Receiving the teaching, is that receiving the chit shakti?
Yes, because that's what's coming down. So when you're connected, you make the connection, it's there. Means the point is because it's a personal process, that's why the people are important. And the development of personal relationships is important because we're developing personal relationships with Krishna, with the previous acharyas, right? With Prabhupada, with the Vaishnavas, because that's there, they'll always be there. You go back to Godhead, you have these relationships. Right? So that's important, but at the same time as we have all these other elements also functioning. You know, it's the same set. So that's why it works despite the conditioning, because much of the time what we're looking at may be the conditioning. But why did we pick one guru over another? Because of our ability, our conditioning can relate to how they present, which is fine. Because it's connected to Krishna. But the point is all the spiritual masters are talking about Krishna. So why this one? Right? All the temples are doing service. Why this one? So that's the point. We situate ourselves how the conditioning works. So that's fine. But at the same time, it's not dependent upon the conditioning. The soul still advanced because Krishna's involved. Right? So he as a person, he's in everyone's heart. He can take care. He's controlling everything. So therefore, one can still find what one's looking for. But, is that right? Yes. So you have all these aspects. Right. So that's the, depending on who you're dealing with, you know, more sentimental or more intellectual, then you may use different aspects to explain it. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Maharaj Prickett now asks a question. Quote, "It is understood that in this scripture, bhakti is described. Among the angas of bhakti, which one is defined as the chief one, standing out like an emperor exerting power everywhere?" Sugati Goswami answers in verse 11, "Constant chanting of the Lord's holy names is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all." So doubtless means there's nothing that can get in the way. There's nothing that can disturb it, right? And fearless means you're following that, you will always get a result. Right? So, gentlemen, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains, "Among the angas of bhakti, hearing, chanting, and remembering are the three chief ones. This has been stated in verse 5. Among these three, chanting is the chief. In chanting, however, there is chanting of the Lord's name, his qualities, and his pastimes. Among those, Anukirtana is best. That means chanting the name according to Anu, one's bhakti. Or it means continuous chanting. It is defined, nirnitam, by the previous acharyas, not just by me. Therefore, there is no need of inquiry for proof. In chanting, there is no fear of purity or impurity concerning time, place, person, and utensils. This means that even outcasts who cannot tolerate serving the Lord do not hesitate to chant, since even impure persons are allowed to chant." Right? So tolerate serving the Lord means that, you know, you have to take your bath, you have to be clean, you have all these different things, it becomes cumbersome. Right? But they'll chant. "Chanting is for those who are indifferent to all desires, including the desire for liberation. Nirvidyamananam. It is for those who desire material things. Ichatam. Such persons can chant just as they make offerings for certain goals. Thus, the meaning is as follows. It is recommended for the unalloyed devotees. Nirvidyamananam. For those who desire svarga and liberation. And for those who are satisfied in the self. Yoginam. This means that according to these different methods, one will get corresponding results, not the same result." Right? It means you'll get these different results, but it's by chanting. But if you want pure devotion, then it's the same process. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport to verse 11, "Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on." That was the point of the... What was the word used? They used a word. Anukirtana. So according to one's position, now Prabhupada's explaining that one aspect. That we hear the name, we're always chanting the name. That would give rise to the form, the past, the qualities, the pastimes. Because the point is to always be chanting. So the name is something we can always do. The other we may be inspired to do sometimes or not. But the point is by using all of these, then we will be, does that make sense? But to say, no, we have to hear about the pastimes, that's what's going to do it. But the point is if you can hear about the pastimes 24/7, then yes, it will. Prickin Maharaj did like that. It worked. If not, then you might consider some chanting. does that make sense? So it's according to one's position. But since it's connected to the Lord, it's not that one is more important than the other. They're all chanting. It's just when you chant, what is the realization with that chanting? Right? Doesn't make sense.
It does, but it also depends on our own effort. While hearing,
yes.
It's not exactly. It's easier.
It's not exactly that it's easier.
No, it is.
It is.
Because you chant, you have to hear.
Yes.
When you're chanting, you have to hear.
Yes.
But when you hear it already, then you just have to hear. You don't have to make it almost no effort, let's say.
That's if you want to hear. Yes. Otherwise.
If you want to chant.
Yes. But the point is if you say the name and you hear sound, right, then you're on the platform of name. If you hear the name and you see form, means they're non-different, then one's on that platform. When you hear the name, you think of the qualities. One's on that platform. When you hear the name, you see pastimes. You're on that platform. Right? So therefore, we may be on the platform of the name. We hear. We spend time hearing the pastimes, discussing the qualities, discussing all these different aspects. But our main focus will be on hearing. You know, in the way of, it means in the way of name. Right? But as it progresses, then these other things, it becomes natural because we're already hearing. So it doesn't matter which one you're hearing, but the point is it's according to one's position which one you should be doing the most. You know what I'm saying? It means if you can chant your 16 rounds and spend the rest of the day just reading Krishna book and hearing pastimes of the Lord, great. You know? Does that make sense? But if not, then you keep yourself busy because you can do other things and still chant. So whatever works, because I mean I've heard of, there was one devotee, whenever you talk to him, all he would discuss was Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's it. Mm-hmm. Nothing else. Any conversation, somehow or another, always end up discussing Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this devotee, all he did all day for 12 hours a day was drive a tractor. You know. Of course, before he drove a tractor, he chanted all his rounds, and he dressed, I think, Radharani every day. So, you know, there might be a little more happening here. But my point is that that's you know, so they would do it. So you have devotees that are like that. So that's the point is the Anukirtana just means that you're always chanting, but he's pointing out is that there's breakdowns of kirtan amongst them. So kirtan of the name, of the form, the qualities, pastime, so that would be according to qualification. Does that make sense? So it's natural. Like you said, you want to hear, you hear. You don't want to hear, you don't. So it's whatever is natural, then that's what you do. Is that okay? Yeah. Yes.
Preaching is also considering as chanting.
Yes, it's also chanting. So that's why it's such a perfect method. Mm-hmm. Is that you can preach, you know, you do kirtan, you know, from... Hearing from the scriptures, chanting the scriptures, like this, all this is nice. That's why it's such a perfect process. That's why. It's the one thing you can always do. So. Yeah. But if there's desire for other things than pure bhakti, then you'll get those other things. You know, if you want liberation, you'll end up there. You want material facilities, you'll get that. But then getting pure bhakti, that's another thing. So you have to chant with that purpose. That will give. So that's why I said the Shuddha Nam, that will give you bhakti. Because Namabhas, that will give you liberation. So if it can give you liberation, why can't it give you, you know, your Mercedes-Benz? Right? Does that make sense?
Or a good cycle in India.
Yeah, good cycle. I was just, how do you say, referring to, you know, the, how do you say, statements of authorities.
If all we want is Anukirtanam, then where is this desire of having it break from Krishna consciousness comes from?
It's just conditioning. It's just that we're not used to it. That's why it's a gradual process. I mean, the process can be done immediately, as we discussed the other day. It's like the gopis or Maharaj Katvanga. You can, in a moment, surrender. But it's not necessarily that we do. So, therefore, then the gradual process in a regulated fashion. And so then we bring it up. So that's why it's good to find that platform that you can remain stable at. Because there's always festivals in which one's standard practice is always taken to a further. You know, it's like, let's say, every day, you know, you make the extreme sacrifice and fast until breakfast. throughout some austerity year. We could have started, you know, as soon as the sun comes up. That's if you're worried about rules, but, you know, you could have, you know, started with a little bit earlier than that, you know.
Yeah.
So the point is, you're going to breakfast. Now, then, you know, on your general fast days, it's always till noon, right? We don't have a festival day that is fasting until breakfast, right? You know, yeah, it'd probably be popular, but you know. So then it's already extended, and then there's a few that it's until moonrise, and then there's a few until midnight. So it just extends that boundaries. Or we do a certain amount of, you know, our japa, and a certain amount of hearing, and a certain amount of kirtan. And, you know, it's the practices in a day, but on festival days we'll do more. You know, so that's the idea, is that one only has to take part in those. But to push one should find that position one can stably do. That's always. But it should be as close to the edge as possible. Not one shouldn't fall off, but as close to the edge as possible.
So this is intense practice of Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Is that how it's called?
Yes. Okay. It's not that you have to, you know, stand on your head and hold your breath and, you know, do all those things, you know, pat your stomach and rub your head, or pat your head, rub your stomach, and jump up and down at the same time. You don't have to go to such extremes. Does that make sense? Yeah, then you won't have that. But, yeah. Yes?
Why the chanting is considered to be the chin, not the hearing?
Because that can be done at all times. So, hearing, chanting, and remembering, these are the three main out of the nine processes. Right? They're the most prominent. But out of that, chanting is the most. But you'll chant because you've heard. Right? As you hear, you can chant. So if chanting is the prominent, then to chant, you have to hear. So then one will want to hear also. You know, it's just like we saw before. You know, how you say, potato, he heard so much, and now all he does is kirtan. You know? Right? So you can see the process works.
So hearing comes first, but the chanting is the main.
Is the main.
Okay.
And then natural from hearing and chanting, as we go, we say, then there'll be remembrance. Yes. Yes. That's why then that's why it says regular hearing of the Bhagavatam, like that. Then that's what's going to give success. Like that. So it's natural. Yes. No. Yes.
So Maharaj, that devotee, he's heard enough and now he's gone?
That means he's heard how much he can hear. That's the point, because we were discussing the point of how much you can do, but the thing here is that the process, because it has nine processes, if one you can't do anymore, then you do one of the other ones. So one's committed to Krishna consciousness, so it's always engaged in devotional activities. But you've taken what you can do to the point of what you can, what is there, then you move to the next one. Right? But you try to create a stableness in hearing and chanting. That's ideal. But the point is one should be involved.
So he's gone?
No, it means that that's what I said. Now he spends his time doing Hari Nam all day. So he's heard, now he's chanting.
Yeah, that's what I mean, he's not coming back to class.
That is another thing, we're not discussing that. We're discussing that the process from hearing to chanting. If you heard, you can chant. Does that make sense? Yeah. So. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. I mean, you have to have that. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on. And thus, the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Sri Sukadeva Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there's no need of further evidence. So it's not like he's saying it. Everybody says that. So this whole thing of hearing from authorities is the process of starting the devotional process, then applying that, then everybody agrees to that. There is no second opinion.
Where it said here, hearing the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attitude.
Yes, yes.
Is that both in the sense of hearing these things from other devotees and also in one's own japa meditation?
Yes, yes. Both. It just means that, in other words, there's an interest at that level. So these other aspects become very important. Verses 12 to 15. At the last stage of life, one should cut off all material attachments. In the verses pertaining to the next two sections, 12 to 21. Is there a name for that when the numbers are reversed? They're saying. I mean, you have that if the word is like that. There's a name where if the word, how it's spelled, it exactly goes opposite. Oh, okay. Srila Sukadeva Goswami explains that to the end of life, one should be bold enough to fearlessly cut off all attachment to the material body, at the end of life, excuse me, and all desires that pertain to it. Because the field, the material field, can be called just the body. Right? We know that means everything connected to the body, the house, the family, the money, the position, you know, the like that. So that's why it just says, if you cut off to the material body and all desires that pertain to it, means the complete field. Right? Because the body is what defines the field. Right? Another body defines the field differently.
Mara?
Yes.
Oh. Actually,
okay. Mara's Prickett is due to die in 1 week. After assuring him that a short life with a moment of pure consciousness is superior to a long life wasted within matter, Sukadeva encourages Prickett Maharaj by reminding him of the saintly king Katvanga. After being informed that he had only a moment left to live, Katvanga at once freed himself from all material activities and in a moment took shelter of the Lord. Sukadeva concludes that Prickett's remaining time of 7 days is sufficient for perfection. At the last stage of life, one should fearlessly cut off all attachments connected with one's body. So here, fearlessly. Why? Because fearlessly means that you. Why doesn't one cut off? Because one's afraid something will be lost. Right? There's fear. So fearlessly means nothing's lost. If you lose the whole material world, right? You lose the whole mahatattva, but gain Krishna consciousness, nothing's been lost at all. Right? Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, you know, let's say you have different persons sitting down. They're all sitting there in the line out on the sand dune, right? And they're all hallucinating. And they're all talking about their particular mirage that they're seeing in there, you know, that hallucination. And each one is bigger than the last, right? And of course it has to be. Right? And so then when that is lost, then the one who had the biggest, can he claim that he actually has the greatest reason for lamentation because his illusion was much bigger and grander and greater than everybody else's? Right? The first guy was only a little pond and one coconut tree, another bush, you know, like that. But, you know, he had a whole oasis with a 5-star hotel and, you know, a golf course and everything. You know? Can he claim it? No, so that's the point. So the whole material, the whole mahatattva, anything that was there that you had, is all an illusion. So therefore, there's no losing the whole material world is not a problem. Yes.
What about fear of losing service or losing association?
That's valid. That's a valid fear. But like Prahlad Maharaj, he says, I'm not afraid of you, I'm afraid of, you know, Maya, meaning that I'm going to give up devotional service. Like that. You know, or the Acharya is saying, if I take birth again, then, you know, my only wish is to be, you know, born in a place where there are pure devotees and be able to be engaged in devotional service. He doesn't matter. So he not even wants to be position of Brahma or anybody, which is such a nice material situation. They just want to be around the association of pure devotees. So then in that way, then it's quite valid. But the point is that if you take shelter of Krishna, then there is no fear. So that's why it says fearless, because it's constant. So there is no fear. But that was the thing, is Prahlad Maharaj's, his only fear was Maya. Mm-hmm. Not Nisringadev, not anything else in the material world. We don't hear that, you know, whatever situation that Hiranyakashipu's henchmen took him to, that he was afraid, and then nothing happened. You know, it's not that he was yelling and screaming when they tossed him into the pot of boiling oil, you know. And then when he got in there, he said, ooh, hey, this is nice, you know, something like that. And Skeeter was a little dry, you know. He wasn't, you don't have that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's okay. Yeah. Yes.
And when we say at the end of life, so...
The end of life.
When it is.
When is the end of life? The easiest means, how you say, as one person explaining, you look down at your feet, and if you see a banana peel there, right, then you know you're near the end. It doesn't make sense. You don't know the saying. How you say, one foot in the grave and the other foot on the banana peel? You've never heard that. No?
Yes.
Okay. The point is one doesn't know. You know, there's so many things you check astrologically, this, that, but they're not necessarily strong indications. They can give you a general indication, not strong indications. And, if you've upset a Brahmin named Sringi, then you might have more of an understanding also, but... Otherwise, that's why one deals as if it's always the end, right? It says one should go after one's economic development as if he's going to live forever, but one should deal on with one's spiritual development as if one's going to die at any moment.
The death is seized in what secret? In the Pita Pradesh?
Okay, yeah. So that's the method, because then you take either one of them seriously,
yes.
Right? Because otherwise, why would you get involved in the material thing if you think it's temporary? Right. Yes.
So then, two questions asked by Maharaj Parikrit, the answer is the same.
Yes. Yes. Yes, so what is the general thing for everybody, and specifically for one who's about to die? It's the same. It's just that one might take it a little more seriously at the end, that's all. But otherwise, it's the same.
Maharaj?
Yes?
There's something in the Shastra that says that it's okay for someone to... I don't know exactly what it is, but something like it's natural for someone to protect their life or to not want to die. Like,
no, what's the point?
Well, with Prahlad Maharaj, I would understand that when he was seemingly about to die by being thrown in the ghee or whatever, and then he wasn't afraid of that.
I'm not sure that they would waste ghee. Safflower oil. That's considered the word. No, the Shastra mentioned
mustard oil?
Safflower. It's just not used. That's considered like the bottom of the barrel.
Mustard oil?
Mustard oil is considered good.
Mm-hmm.
You get a lot of benefits. Mm-hmm. Not as good as ghee. Safflower oil is not recommended at all.
So,
it's high in polyunsaturates.
Are we to understand that because Prahlad Maharaj was not even afraid of something that is your commitment, that he did not want to protect something that you're naturally committed to want to protect, is he, because he's beyond that, like he's so far advanced?
Well, I mean, you have that aspect, of course, but you have to understand what it means, is that, in other words, you have your duties, and within that, you do what is necessary for self-preservation, because the point is you can render service in your body if you have one.
But then you just go to the next one, so
you can't. Yeah. It means, how many rounds does, you know, a newborn chant? When do they start getting serious? You know what I'm saying? It means those who are born in devotee families, they were devotees before, practicing devotees, you know, quite nicely situated devotees. Okay? Like that. When do they start getting serious about their japa?
But times...
No. Just answer the question.
12, 13.
Okay. So that's, you know, so then, you know, and then there's some who are older. So I know some who, it's when they hit 30, now they get serious. You know, then they kind of figured out that, you know, all those things that their mommy told them was right, you know. Now that they're married with kids and yes. Run into the same problems. So generally latest by 30. Okay, but they might in their early 20s, I meant at their early teens. You know, rare you have Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur 64 rounds at 4. You know. So, I'm not sure if, you know, how we have it, you know, for each year they grow, they add a round, you know, so for each year he grows, he adds 16 rounds, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So, 12 years, you know, plus you're talking about in the womb. Plus, generally, and it means, well, devotees is not so important, but then there's, you know, 9 months of a little bit of a break. You know, you get a little rest. Okay, so that's basically, we're wasting 14 years. So now, if you could make an endeavor to protect yourself, and it's there, and you could do it, why not do it? You know what I'm saying? But if there's nothing you can do, then, you know. In other words, one doesn't have the problem with the concept of death. The point is that if you can continue now doing your service, why wouldn't you? But if that's not going to work, then one remembers Krishna and goes back to Godhead. So it doesn't matter. So you have a 5-year-old kid, you know, and very large orc-like, you know, entities. You know, what are you going to do? Bite their ankle? Pull out the hairs on their big toe. You know what I'm saying? There's not a lot of options here. So he just remembers the Lord. The principle is remember the Lord. And then according to that, you make an endeavor, and then it either works or doesn't work. Does that make sense?
So fear should never come into it. It should only be the endeavor.
Fear what?
Fear should never come into
fear.
It.
Fear. No, fear is not there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Second hand. For a moment. Okay. Srila Prabhupada explains. Death is nothing but sleeping for a few months in order to develop another term of bodily encagement, which we are awarded by the law of nature according to our aspiration. That's why people are afraid. They don't know that that's what it is. Therefore, one has only to change the aspiration during the course of this present body. And for this, there's no need of training in the current... And for this, there is need of training in the current duration of human life. Right? In other words, death is going to be that, you know, how you say, sleeping for a few months to develop the next body that's based on what you did this month, life, what you wanted. Right? So you change the aspiration, then there's no need of a material birth. Right? So then the, at the time of death, you transfer to the spiritual world.
Yes.
But if one doesn't, then one transfers to the material world, wherever it is that that kind of consciousness, I would say, can be best expressed. So to do that, then there's need of training. This training can be begun at any stage of life, or even a few seconds before death. But the usual procedure is for one to get the training from very early life, from the stage of brahmacharya, and gradually progress to the grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyasa orders of life. So the point is, it can be done at any time, but you know the usual process is to start as early as possible. The institution which gives such training is called Varnashram Dharma, or the system of Sanatana Dharma. The best procedure for making the human life perfect. One is therefore required to give up the attachment to family or social or political life just at the age of 50 years, if not earlier. And the training in the Vanaprastha and Sannyas ashrams is given for preparation of the next life. Right? So Vanaprastha Sannyas, you're directly dealing with that. But the basis of that, one has gotten done in Brahmacharya and Grihastha. Right? That's how one's able to give up, because one has that practice and training. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes in his commentary to verse 15, the question was asked, what should the dying man do? You should perform yoga to enter into Brahman with ease after giving up the body by your will through yoga. In this verse, he speaks of the excellence of the yoga process, which was the opinion held by some sages of the great assembly. Sukadev's own opinion will begin at the end of the second chapter. Right, so he gives others opinions, and then there's going to be what his, you know, his conclusion is. Because here, even you say, perform yoga to enter into Brahman with ease after giving it the body by your will through yoga. But then what the sage is saying here, this will be the Ashtanga yoga system. But for us also, we will enter into the transcendental state, you know, or the spiritual realm, by the practice of bhakti yoga. Right? So that's the point, is all these others have certain conditions that must be met. Bhakti doesn't. It means no material conditions.
Do you mean just certain time and all these things?
Time, effort means, it's just like you want to perfect yourself at yoga, you do have to be a touch flexible. Right? You know, it's kind of a prerequisite. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like when we have these programs, like laser management programs, there's a good chance you're going to find chairs.
Yes.
Why? Okay. Now, if you look around in those chairs, who are sitting in the chairs?
Oh.
Right. Okay. So now, would they, by the Ashtanga yoga system, be able to perfect themselves before leaving their body?
Why not?
They can't even sit on the floor. You understand? So that's the problem. So therefore, then it won't be the best system. Right? You know, you start young, you know, it may work, but leave it too long might not work out so good. Yes? No? So all these things, you know, the intelligence for using his passive jnana, that has to be very fixed, all these different things. But here, the devotional process works despite.
Yes.
Right, like I mentioned that example. I can't remember where it was. I think it was Indonesia. One devotee was mentioning how another devotee, because you know, was captured by the parents, and they somehow or another thought he was crazy, because you know they're from Indonesian. They have a slightly different religious proclivities, right? And so they thought he was crazy. They put him in a mental institution. They pumped him full of all kinds of chemicals. The idea is that he would, you know, because he wouldn't forget about devotional life, so they basically just kind of like wiped his memory clean. And he forgot everything, about everything, but he was still chanting Hare Krishna. At that point, then they didn't know what to do, because it was a little beyond them. So that's the point, is this chanting process, this process recommended by Sukadeva, it's not dependent upon the physical, you know, emotional, intellectual platform. It works despite all this. So Is that okay?
Yeah, I'm wondering if you have to, like you were saying that he died at a certain time, like he left his body at a certain time. So this, that time doesn't matter, like, you know, in a day or night or a certain time.
No, it doesn't. You remember Krishna, it's perfect.
Doesn't matter when.
No, but these other processes, they have rules.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that. That's there, but the point is those are the rules when you leave, but then you have to be good enough that you can leave whenever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but the point is that means it has all the practice beforehand, which depends upon your physical, emotional, and intellectual capacities. Does that make sense?
So, devotees don't choose when they leave, like they don't make themselves choose the body.
What's the point? It means the point is that for the devotee, he's already doing service, so it's already life's perfect here. So he serves here, he goes back to God, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, so he serves here, well, that works, and when that doesn't work anymore, he serves there.
Yeah.
Is that
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Verses 16 to 21. The essence of the preparatory process is to drag the mind from material engagements and fix it on the lotus feet of the Lord. Sukadeva Goswami says that one should leave home, and if one cannot directly hear and chant about Krishna, one should practice yoga. Right? In other words, then that's a secondary. If you can't do devotional service, then okay, then you use one of these other processes.
Like Dhritarashtra.
Yeah, like Dhritarashtra. 16 to 17. Srila Prabhupada explains in his purport to 2.1.16. The holy places all over the world are meant for the residential purposes of retired persons getting ready for a better next life. Intelligent persons must go there at the end of life, and for that matter, after 50 years of age, to live a life of spiritual regeneration for the sake of being freed from family attachment, which is considered to be the shackle of material life. One is recommended to quit home just to get rid of material attachment, because one who sticks to family life until death cannot get rid of material attachment. And as long as one is material attached, one cannot understand spiritual freedom. One should not, however, become self-complacent simply by leaving home or by creating another home at the holy place, either lawfully or unlawfully. Many persons leave home and go to such holy places, but due to bad association, again become family men by illicit connection with the opposite sex. The illusory energy of Maya is so strong that one is apt to be under such illusion at every stage of life, even after quitting one's happy home. Therefore, it is essential that one practice self-control by celibacy without the least desire for sex indulgence. For a man desiring to improve the condition of his existence, sex indulgence is considered suicidal, or even worse. Considered suicidal or worse. Right? Therefore, to live apart from family life means to become self-controlled in regard to all sense desires, especially sex desires. Right? Because family life means grihastha, means this is the involvement. Right? These are the elements. So that expanding on that. So that's what Prabhupada mentioned before, the vanaprastha sannyas, that's for preparing one for death, because those aren't family life. Right? It means that it's not about the senses, it's about controlling the senses, about engaging the senses in the Lord's service. Does that make sense? Yes.
Are we to understand that because sutras don't enter any sannyas or vanaprastha, then are they never going to understand? Are they not going to go back to Godhead because of that?
And the point is, if they can remember Krishna, then it'll work.
I'm not understanding that first point, that unless you, if you...
Because this is the, as I mentioned before, what was the term Prabhupada used? The usual procedure.
Yeah.
Because the other is, because one's involved so much in family life, then it's going to be very difficult to focus on the spiritual. Because otherwise, then, if you're always in family life, then the time of death, you're going to be worried what's going to happen to the wife, the kids, one's money, one's house, possessions, all these different things. So then the natural tendency is, therefore, to come back to be involved in such activities.
So many devotees get married at 50, or not many, but
the point is is, how you say, one is you can use the term better late than never, you know, for those who have that kind of inclination. Okay? So at least they're dealing with the now. You know, so they had a longer, you know, brahmachari training before that. Right? So then, you know, they should be able to deal with it quite efficiently. Does that make sense? You know, but it's not the usual practice, as mentioned. But the point is at some point they have to give up the endeavor to develop the facility for sense gratification. You know what I'm saying? It has to be its connection to Krishna. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I don't want to continue because it's going to go too far off and people are going to get mad.
Well, you only have 40 seconds in.
Okay. Well, I was just wondering, if you were saying one time that at the end there, it just becomes about service, no longer about the sense gratification. So it's only about the service, then it's just that grihastha life is just doing...
But that's not grihastha life. That's called vanaprastha.
Oh, okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah.
Is that we take it that grihastha life means you have a place, you have some money, the wife is there, this and that. Mm-hmm. So then what we're talking about here is completely not dealing with that. That's only if that situation isn't favorable. But if, in other words, if a man and woman have been living together for the last 20, 30 years, right, and they've been engaged nicely in service, then they know how to support each other in the service. What's the problem with that?
Yeah.
So that's the part you keep. That's what vanaprastha continues with. What you give up is the need for making so much money and expanding and doing this and that and all these kind of things. That's the grihastha part. That's given up. That always has to be given up. Because otherwise, if you're always trying to develop that, then one has to come back to continue to develop that.
But if you're living in a grihastha ashram as brahmacharis, then you're not doing that anyway, so then...
But then they're vanaprasthas.
Okay.
You understand? Means okay. The point is man and woman being together, if they're developing the facility and all those kind of things, sense gratification, that's called grihastha. If they're not doing that, it's called vanaprastha.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
One has to be able to function with these very clear, exact definitions. Then it works. Otherwise, we get confused. Well, what about this? What does that mean? Can he have money? Does that mean can he have a house? How many roots can he have in the house? You know, like that. Does he actually shine the taps on the sink? You know, like that. Because wouldn't that be considered grossly materialistic? You know, I mean, we can go on for a million years, literally. Catch the principle and understand what was being said. Then apply it to the situations that you have in your head.
Okay?
Okay?
Yeah.
Then it works.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Salabhata Bhakti Jindaki, Jai Nidhati Gauri.